Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports will join us to talk about what's happened to the Steelers offense over these past 2 weeks. A really bad performance against Jacksonville and then a weird performance against the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about him today, about what's happening with the Steelers offense and how it can improve going forward. Also today, an injury report, as Wednesday was the first Steeler practice of the week. Not a great day of Steeler practice. A lot of players missing. We'll talk about who it was and who their replacements could be on Sunday. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the subscribe button to get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. If you search Locked On Steelers, you can hit that like button or join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. Christopher Carter joining us today. Tomorrow, Matt Williamson of Steeler Nation Radio will be here to talk both about this game against the Denver Broncos from a week ago, but also preview Sunday's game against the LA Chargers. And let's start today with some news and notes. Ben Roethlisberger called out a couple teammates after that disappointing performance against the Denver Broncos, saying that James Washington has to catch that ball. He just needs to have that trust and confidence in himself and bounce back. Washington went out and said, you know, he understands why Ben said that, and Ben has every right to say it, and he knows he has to step up his play. But interesting to see Ben Roethlisberger this assertive. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger likes to talk to the media, likes to make some of this stuff public. I've not always been a fan of that, especially back in the offseason when it was about Mason Rudolph and that situation. But in this case, I think someone like James Washington does need that extra motivation, or in some way he's got to turn around his season, what has been a truly disappointing rookie season for him so far. Also talked about AB needed to come more shallow on that route, as you saw on the replay there. Not only did the defensive tackle intercept that final pass, but it probably would have been at least tipped away by the defender and maybe even fallen right into his chest as well. So even if it wasn't the defensive tackle intercepting that ball, it could have been the corner, and that's because AB kind of went a little too deep in the end zone. Maybe he needed to run that a little more shallow. Ben Roethlisberger locked in for the rest of this season. He certainly understands that this offense has to be consistently putting up big points if this team's going to win the big games down the stretch. Eli Rogers returned to practice on Wednesday. He has been out with an ACL injury since the playoff game against Jacksonville back in January. Here we are now, about 11 months past that, when he originally suffered the injury and finally able to practice. You knew it was going to take a while, right? It was always kind of a pipe dream for him to be participating in any kind of training camp or preseason activities. He's been on injured reserve all the way until this point, and now he's resumed practicing on Wednesday. There's been a lot of talk about the idea that he could be the replacement at the third wide receiver position. I know a lot of Steeler fans are ready to shelve James Washington for the rest of the year and, you know, retry him in year two, right? No one's saying he's a bust just yet, but certainly his rookie year has not been what we all expected. Eli Rogers could come in and be more of a slot receiver. We've seen Juju play more on the outside. With Switzer on the inside, could Eli Rogers provide a spark there as well, playing as a slot receiver or a fourth receiver in this offense? We'll see how soon he comes off of IR and onto the 53-man roster, but very encouraging to see him practicing again. Also, Ola Dini is practicing. I don't know if I mentioned that a week ago, but Ola Dini has returned to practice as well. So could be seeing him in the active lineup. And that's because the Steelers have quite a few injuries on this team right now. They've been very fortunate when it comes to injuries. So I'm going to read you who sat out of practice on Wednesday. And this is going to feel like doom and gloom. But let me tell you, the Steelers have been really lucky when it comes to injuries so far. We haven't had a major injury throughout the season. We've dealt with an injury to Marcus Gilbert, and that's really been the biggest thing the Steelers have had to deal with on the injury front. This week, it seems like it's going to be, we could be missing a bunch of players. So let's go over it. The players that did not practice were Ben Roethlisberger. He did not practice because of the coach's decision. It was a Wednesday day off for Ben. Also, a day off for Marquise Pouncey. B.J. Finney had the day off for a personal issue. And then four players missed because of injury. Morgan Burnett, Bud Dupree, Marcus Gilbert again, and Vance McDonald. Let's just go over that list real quick. Marcus Gilbert still not practicing. So there was some hope that he could be limited. He's not even limited. He's out of practice. Will he play against the LA Chargers? Probably not. That means Matt Filer either retake that role as the starting right tackle, or, I mean, Chucks Okorafor didn't have a bad game. We'll see where the coaching staff is on that, if they feel like Okorafor did good enough to earn that spot, although Filer was fantastic when he was in there at right tackle as well. Morgan Burnett with a back injury. Look, Morgan Burnett doesn't have day-to-day injuries, right? When Morgan Burnett goes down, we saw him miss the majority of the preseason and training camp with an injury. Then he missed a bunch of time in the midseason there. If this back injury lingers, we could see him miss what is really a vital stretch for this team between this game against the Chargers and then the two against the Patriots and Saints coming up in a couple weeks. Bud Dupree missing with a pectoral injury. The edge rush position, we've talked about this, right? TJ Watt has a hand injury, a wrist injury, didn't limit him in practice, so he seems like he's going to be good to go. But if Bud Dupree can't go, the Steelers only have two healthy edge rushers, and that's where Oladini could come in. Could Oladini be activated onto the roster this week with this injury to Bud Dupree? Something to monitor in tomorrow if Bud can come back in a limited capacity or maybe even come all the way back to full capacity. But otherwise, if Bud can't play, you got to figure Oladini's going to get activated to the 53. And then Vance McDonald, another guy who, when he gets hurt, it's just not a week to week thing, or it's not an early comeback type thing. Vance McDonald, when he goes down for a while. You saw that in training camp and preseason. He missed all of training camp and all of preseason, came back at the beginning of the year and worked his way back to health. Here we are late in the season again. This is the vital stretch here, and you've got Vance McDonald down with a hip injury. The hope would be that he could come back and probably won't play against the Chargers, but the hope would be that he can come back and play against the Raiders and then be ready to go for those games against the Patriots and Saints. But I think we all have that feeling, right? This could be another lingering thing that goes right into the playoffs. Limited in practice with Stephon Tuitt with that elbow. Good to see he's coming back in the right direction. And he told the media on Wednesday that he intends on playing this week. He is back and ready to go, although he was limited on Wednesday. And then a full participant in practice was Xavier Grimble. He had a concussion, not a surprise after the big hit he took on Sunday. And it looked like he might have even lost consciousness on that play. It's kind of a scary play. Forget about the fumble and forget about the game situation and all of that. Just look at his body's reaction to that hit. A really violent hit, and looked like he might have lost consciousness there. Hopefully he's okay, and glad to see if he was in any sort of concussion protocol, this will likely bring him out of it. But looking at that injury report right now, not pretty. Burnett, Dupree, Gilbert, McDonald, all out of practice, which makes them unlikely to play this week. And then Tuitt, while he says he's ready to go, he's told us he was ready to go 2 weeks ago, didn't. He's limited, so working his way back, hopefully he can go. He's an important piece of that defensive line. Hey, before we get to Christopher Carter, I want to let you guys know about Action Heat Clothing. It is the winter time in Pittsburgh, and that means it's time to bundle up. And what better way to bundle up then with some Action Heat Clothing? It is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panel similar to a heated car seat. They've got heated shirts, jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments, like base layer shirts, long johns. I mean, look, if you're in Pittsburgh right now, you understand the cold weather, but it's going to be even colder when you get out there and want to sit for 3 hours in Heinz Field for this game against the Chargers at 8:00 at night, or if you're going to that game against the Patriots a couple weeks from now, or even one of the playoff games in January. You're going to need to bundle up with some Action Heat Clothing. If you know someone who's going to that game, it's Christmas season as well. It's the holiday season, so this could be the perfect Christmas gift. We have a special deal for listeners of this podcast. Head on over to actionheat.com/lockedon, and you're going to get 20% off your entire order. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout and you're going to save 20% off your order. All right, let's bring in Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports. He is a film analyst for them. Love having him on. I haven't had him on in too long. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Tony. It's always good to be on the show.
So, a weird game this week against the Denver Broncos. The Steelers lose despite putting up 500-plus total yards. They put themselves in scoring position plenty of times. Xavier Grimble had a chance to walk into the end zone. He fumbles out of the back of the end zone. Yeah. I mean, they just had turnovers at inopportune moments. Is this a game where, coming out of it, there are things Steeler fans should be worried about, or is this just a case of the ball not bouncing the Steelers' way?
Well, it's a mix of both. I mean, there's certain things that are unlucky that you can't control, and there's certain things you can control. And I think it's important to note that a lot of the Steelers' mistakes were self-inflicted. Xavier Grimble should have switched the ball hand. Everyone's talked ad nauseum about that. And, oh, he did this wrong. We all know he messed up. He knows he messed up. And that should be something I think the Steelers keep in mind as they, throughout the rest of the season, just like, hey, you know, either he wants it or he doesn't. And personally, Tony, I've been watching Xavier Grimwald closely for the past few years. He is such a good athletic talent. He can go up and get the ball. He can run in space. He can beat a linebacker in coverage, but he just doesn't do the little things right, and that's why he's been a third string tight end for so long.
Yeah.
And you saw that was a complete summary of how doing the little things wrong will kill you, and that's what happened to him there. Some of the things I think the takeaway is that there's pieces of concern that the red zone offense wasn't there. There's a lot of narrative going around about this Pittsburgh about the run pass ratio, and I think it's a bit of a myth because I'd like to hear your opinion on this as well. But my thing is, people are talking about the last three games, Connor hasn't gotten 100 yards. They're passing more than they're running. That's a problem. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Let's put each game into context. One, in the Panthers game, they were throwing all over the Panthers. Why would they run? In the Jaguars game, they couldn't run the ball, and then they were down 16 points, so they had to throw the ball. And in the Broncos game, yes, I think they should have run a little bit more in the third quarter when they had that lead. But when you look at the total amount of passes, like, what, it was 56, 57 passes, almost 20 of those came in the two-minute drill situations, which they had in both halves.
Yeah.
And if you take away those drives, then you're looking like, oh, well, 36 passes, that's actually kind of normal. So I think that there's a bit of a misnomer with the whole they're throwing the ball too much. I think they do what's called in certain situations. There were several opportunities to be had in this game, both by the receivers that didn't make the plays and dropped the balls or fumbled the passes, or by Roethlisberger, who missed a few that he could have, that if he had back, he might hit on the second try. The biggest thing is, I think that Ben Roethlisberger's response to the media has been positive, in the sense that, he's like, hey, shooter, shoot. I'm a gunslinger. I'm going to keep slinging. I'm not going to worry about the – because I don't want him to worry about the interceptions. I want him to stay focused and keep doing what he does, but he does need to look at where his mistakes were and counter those. But I'd like to hear your feedback on the whole debate about the run-pass ratio, because that's what everybody's talking about this
week. It's so strange, isn't it? Because there's this comparison that gets drawn, like you said, to this Jaguars game, right? They didn't run the ball in the Jaguars game, and they didn't run the ball in the Broncos game. Well, in the Broncos game, they were able to move the football, at will running, throwing the ball. I mean, they had 450 yards of passing. Do they need more balance and that kind of thing? I'm not a big believer in balance, right? That you need to be 50% run and 50% pass. I know a lot of fans get into that, and they want that balance. I mean, Steeler football traditionally has been run the ball and play defense. That's not the modern NFL. And the Steelers had no problem moving the football. The problem was finishing in this game. And I think you brought it up. The problem offensively in this game was not whether or not they were able to move the football. It was situational play calling at times, and then just the mistakes they made in the turnovers. I thought their play calling in goal line situations was my biggest problem I had offensively in this game. They run the RPO on the last play. That's just not – I understand the Steelers run RPO from time to time. It's not their bread and butter. It's not what they do. And the fact that they had six plays from inside – what was it? Six plays from inside the five or five plays from inside the five, and Connor got the ball. Connor only got the ball once in that situation. Yeah, you have a great offensive line. Connor's got, 10 touchdowns on the year. I like to see him get the ball there. That's where I would say run-pass ratio was a problem. But you also – you had – what was it? The ball went right through Vance McDonald's hands. You had these weird plays on the goal line. People are hating on the fade route to Juju. I thought Juju was dominant all day. He didn't get a great release on that play.
But he got to the pylon. If Ben puts the ball on the pylon, I think he has a shot to catch it.
It's funny because Ben said that, we should have just run that play three times. I think if they run that play three times, to be honest, I don't love the fade route. I get people don't love the fade route, but I think he probably brings one of those down just given how dominant he was all day. So I do want to ask you about Ben Roethlisberger, because you wrote about the defenses adjusting to Ben Roethlisberger and some of the mistakes that Ben is making in his reads when defenses are doing a good job of disguising coverage. It's something Matt Williamson and I have been talking about the last couple weeks, which is this idea that in the modern NFL, you got to put up points and big points, right? We saw the Chiefs and Rams put up 100 total points. The Steelers put up 50 against Carolina. The Chiefs and Patriots played that game in the 80s, right, at total points. And same thing with the Saints and Rams. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback that he is today, is he good enough to be, is he consistent enough to take this team on a playoff run that where the Steelers are likely going to have to score 30, 40 points a game?
I mean, I think absolutely he's good enough. I mean, my biggest thing with Ben Roethlisberger is, can he get into his zone? And there's been talk about, his zone involves being at home or other factors. I think what happens is when he finds a rhythm with his players, when he's in a pace where you see this year, he is distributing the ball much more evenly than in years past. Antonio Brown isn't just getting all the targets, or Le'Veon Bell's not there to get all the other targets, but you're seeing Juju get a lot of looks. You're seeing Vance McDonald get some looks. You're seeing Roosevelt Nix and James Conner, and even now Samuels is getting into the mix. And I think that's really helped them, but it's a lot more difficult to build that kind of trust with all those different guys and operate effectively with it than it is to, like, when the Steelers would have their games like they did against the Broncos a few years ago, and he could just go to Antonio Brown and they would just roast people. So I think that it's very possible, but part of it has to be Ben Roethlisberger being comfortable enough with not only his team but what's in front of him. And I think that's often been his biggest weakness, is that he would not recognize what the defenses were trying to do, and that would lead to his biggest mistakes. I think he's done a much better job of that this year. But you saw in that Broncos game, there were just a few times, not all the time, because, again, they moved the ball pretty consistently, but on third down and in the red zone, they recognized, hey, he's going to try and run this slant, or he's going to try and do this shovel pass. And you saw how ready they were. And that happens. And I think that's a good test for the Steelers to see and learn from. But the real test will be in the coming weeks. Will Ben Roethlisberger and Randy Feuchner in this offense, will they be able to develop some counter punches to those situations? Like on the shovel pass to Juju before they pulled off the fake field goal touchdown pass. You saw it was it's the same sort of look they did with Vance McDonald against the Jaguars when Ben Roethlisberger ran it in. The Jaguars sniffed that out last week. And, the biggest thing was Miles Jack just couldn't bring down Roethlisberger. And this time, the Broncos, as soon as David DeCastro pulled and Juju followed him on the trail, you saw all the safeties and linebackers of the Broncos just suck to the defensive line. If Roethlisberger looks up for just a half second, he would have seen the shallow cross route from Antonio Brown wide open in the end zone, and that would have been the move to go with. And I'm not saying that in that moment he could have seen that because that was the design call.
Right.
But I am saying that in the film room, when you're studying, you say, hey, you know what? Other teams might do this as well. Let's put this in our playbook, and let's remember that we can look at this and this can happen. And I think though it's those types of moments, realizing, hey, you know what? When we call this play that we really like to call, our tendency is to go here because we really like to go here. But let's have the plan B, and let's be ready for this exact thing to be the plan B, because teams are going to love studying our tendencies. And Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they're on the schedule in a couple weeks. They're going to be one of those teams that are ready for the Steelers' tendencies. And I think the Saints defense will be looking to do the same thing. I think the Chargers defense this week will be doing the same thing. So that's where I think the adjustments have to come. And again, it's a test. This is going to be – we haven't seen Ben Roethlisberger under Randy Feuchner yet. He's surpassed some of the expectations I had for him already. And maybe this is a sign of where Ben Roethlisberger's legacy goes in the twilight of his career.
I mean, I think overall Ben's had a good season so far, right? But I mean, it's hard to judge because offense around the league has been so much better in 2018 that it makes sense that Ben's play would be elevated. So as well, I completely agree with you on the flip play that they run. I mean, they run that so often now that you saw Yannick Ngakoue last week stepped in front of the play that was supposed to go to Vance. This week, you're right. I mean, the Broncos sniffed that out easily. I completely agree. They got to add either you got to just throw that play away for a little while and let defenses forget about it, or you got to add another wrinkle to it, because the way it's being run right now, it's just not working. Okay. So we talked run pass ratio, right, which has been a big topic in Pittsburgh for the past week. I mean, Connor, let's talk about James Connor right now and where he is. I guess you got to talk about where he is mentally, right? Because you look at the way he finished against Jacksonville. He didn't get his head around for the little flare, and then he drops what would have been a game winner. Now, the Steelers go on to win, so no harm, no foul there. But then he has a really inopportune fumble in this Broncos game. If they, we're talking about how the Steelers are going to come out against the against. I almost said the San Diego Chargers again. I did. I did the crossover.
It's easy. We all grew up with the San Diego Chargers.
So if you're looking at the game plan going into against the LA Chargers, you know, they've got a front seven. A run defense is not terrific. You think the Steelers come out in this game, kind of proving a point, proving that they still have faith in James Conner and you know kind of start running the ball early.
I think they might try to do it a little bit, but I get the sense that this team is in its own vacuum. They're trying to not care about the outside narrative. And what would better not care about the outside narrative than feel like, hey, we trust James Conner, but we also know where our top weapons are, and those are our wide receivers. And I can see them doing both, but I really think that they should come out and attack the Chargers secondary, you know, come out with some play action, because you know what? I can see the Chargers. I can see them getting a little aggressive out there. I can see them getting a little happy and jumping some early runs. And then you heard them put on their heels, and that's when you start hitting with some more RPOs in the middle of the field rather than at the goal line. But I don't think they necessarily need to commit to the run game early. I do think that they should work a mix in my, again, I am always a fan. I mean, anyone that's known me for years now, you'll come to know this. I love setting up the run with the pass. It's such a big thing for me, because so many teams, especially when you have an offensive line that is this good, teams see that, they're scared of it. They will rush to the offensive line and to clog the hole. So James Conner, whoever your running back is taken out of the game. And that's where you need to hurt them and make them have to start guessing. And that's when you can start, you know, dominating the game and dictating where the fight goes.
The other player we need to talk about offensively that maybe we need to talk about his mental state right now, I guess, is James Washington, right? Because James Washington just really struggled in his rookie year. He had that weird play this week where he dove for the ball that he probably, I mean, it's hard to say, right? But it looked like he could have just run underneath it and catched, and maybe even, you know, he probably could have scored. Maybe his momentum takes him out of bounds, but it would have been a big play regardless. I did see the Steelers, and I haven't paid attention. I haven't charted this all year, but it did seem like in watching the All-22 this week, the Steelers were running more with Juju on the outside with AB and Switzer in the slot rather than, you know, running with AB and Washington on the outside and Juju in the slot. I think that's something the Steelers are not necessarily they want to get Washington off the field, but getting Switzer on the field in those moments rather than James Washington. It feels like the third wide receiver spot has been an issue, and maybe Switzer's taking over in place of James Washington.
I think that they're definitely happy using Switzer in the slot. You saw the one first down he converted on third. He just beat his man out of the slot and over the middle. I think the Steelers, they say, hey, we'll take that matchup. He's quick. He's darting. He's feisty. He doesn't give up on plays. I think they will take that. But I do think also most people forget that, you know, while he's a decent slot receiver, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster are great slot receivers.
Yeah, that's so the thing. It's one of those things where when they did it against Jacksonville, I've been a proponent of all year of keeping Juju in the slot because he's such a mismatch for nickel corners or whoever defenses are going to put on Juju in the slot. It's just such a mismatch. And putting him on the outside, not to say he can't be a good outside receiver. Of course, we saw him catch, what was the 97-yarder was caught when he was on the outside. He caught the two down the sideline against A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey. You know, he could be a great outside receiver as well, but man, he's so good in the slot as well. So outlook on James Washington this year just feels like we're going to see less of him from this point forward, right? There's an argument to be made, I guess, that you let the rookie kind of play through this, but, you know, here we are, what are we, 11, 12 games into the year? I don't feel like it's getting any better.
I mean, it's one of those things that people got to remember. There have been some serious slow starts in people's careers. Plaxico Burress had a rough rookie season. Antoine Rendell, I think, had a rough rookie season. There are certain receivers that don't click. And we've seen over time that, you know, it's not necessarily that he's a Lyman Sweet, because Lyman Sweet, I think, had some motivation issues when you see how he exited the NFL and then couldn't even really do well in Canada. So I don't think James Washington is a guy that should just automatically be phased out. I think he should be kept in the loop because you never know when he might step up. He's definitely not performing right now. And I'm with you. I think they need a third guy to be outside the numbers so that they can rotate Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown in the slot. And you know, maybe some of that has to come with confidence for James Washington. Maybe they should run some, you know, design some shorter, like some switch combination route patterns where he gets like a little five and hook, and then gets a quick look from Roethlisberger. He can use his hands and you know, be a possession receiver, because I think that's where he's going to make his hay in the NFL if he ever does mature. With James Washington, I don't think he should be out of the loop yet. I do think that they should try to scheme more to use Ryan Switzer right now, and Eli Rogers returned to practice on Wednesday. So
that'll
be interesting to see how he works into the mix. They like just putting Darius Heyward-Bey just out there just as like a distraction.
Randomly. Yeah. they used to been like, they wouldn't like, what was it, the two tight ends or three tight ends, and then put Hey Bay out there.
Yeah, and they really like him. it's so funny. I can totally see James Washington staying in the mix, because I also think that they know that they know his potential, and they know that if he starts to click, you know, all it to take is one catch. You know, if people, you know, this is going way back, but I remember when Plaxico Burress first got to the Steelers in 2000, and he had the roughest start. He couldn't catch. He was dropping open passes. He couldn't get open. And then
when he spiked it
against the Jaguars, it was exactly where I was going. And when he caught the ball, he finally was like, "I got it." And he spiked it, and then he was like, "Oh man, this ain't college." And then the Jaguars picked up the ball and ran like 50 yards. But I can totally see a moment like that, because after that point, Plaxico started to figure some things out, and then you saw him become a prime threat for the Steelers in the next few years when he was with the team. I could totally see a similar sort of thing happening for James Washington. Let him make a big catch over the middle. Let him score a touchdown. He already had scored a touchdown, but let him score a touchdown where he beats somebody deep, and the team rallies around him. Because I guarantee you, if he makes that big play, Tony, you know that Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, the whole offensive line, they're going to go up. They're going to be like, "Way to go, dude." And then maybe that's what he needs to sort of break that lock that he's in. And once he gets into that, then I'd be scared of this offense. But even still, I'm still scared of this offense if I'm a defensive coordinator as is. But I wouldn't give up on James Washington just yet, both on this season and in his career.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's not like, you know, they haven't had a great third receiver all year, but it really hasn't hurt the offense. I mean, yes, James Washington hasn't gotten going, but, you know, this offense has put up 50 points with him, you know, not catching a single ball. So it's been fine. All right, let's transition over to the defensive side. Some worrying things defensively the last 2 weeks, specifically in run defense. Now, Stephon Tuitt hasn't played. Is it easy enough to just chalk it up to that? I mean, it did seem like Alualu hasn't played well the last couple weeks. LT Walton, not great. McCullers, not great. Is it easy enough to just say, look, the loss of Tuitt is hurting there, or are there other things that teams are exploiting in the running game?
I think it's a mix of things. One, yeah, Tuitt not being there hurts, because that Tuitt and Hayward were the two guys that defenses would either have to double team or risk that they would blow up. They would be able to those two could blow up entire plays. With Hargrave there, they don't need to double team him, but he is changing the line of scrimmage regularly. I've seen him shoving people in the backfield. A lot. The problem is that behind him, there's not a lot of people that are covering the multiple gaps that open up, and you know, like you, there's been some plays, like there was an 18-yard run that Lindsey had on the in the game this past weekend, where Hargrave did his job, but Walton couldn't, you know, Walton went to the inside gap and Lindsey bounced it outside and he couldn't get there, but then there was, you know, his longest play is 32-yarder, he busted up the middle. And I said this immediately in a war room. I was like, look at Vince Williams. He's in the gap. He just gets held, and he throws his hands up trying to draw the penalty. He just can't get it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do think that there's a little bit of cause for concern, but Stephon Tuitt wasn't on the field in the second half of the Jaguars game when this run defense went out there and kicked his butt, or kicked the Leonard Fournette's butt. I think that there's a lot of this is just making in-game adjustments, winning their spot battles, and doing that. I do think that the key, though, isn't necessarily having Tuitt in there by himself, but having him in there so that Hargrave and Tyson Alualu can both be rotational guys rather than guys that you have to regularly rely on in the starting mix.
Yeah, you mentioned Javon Hargrave there. He's been terrific these past couple weeks. It was shocking to me to not see him on the field for the first half of that Jaguars game and seeing McCullers out there as much, because Hargrave has just been a terror, especially, you know, I mean, he's good against the run, but I'll tell you where this guy has been great to me watching the tape the last couple games is in a pass rush. And in a league where interior pass rush matters so much, I know we talk about T.J. Watt from the outside, Bud Dupree from the outside, and they've been good this year. I mean, T.J. Watt has 10 sacks already, but Javon Hargrave needs to be out there on passing downs. Am I wrong?
No, he needs to be out there. He's an inside rusher guy. When you get him one-on-one, he's going to beat people. And you saw that in his rookie season when he sacked Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he knows how – he's very good with his hand techniques. He has a low center of gravity, and when he gets going, he is really tough to stop. He's like a little bowling ball. And against interior linemen that don't have great technique, and there's plenty of those around, he's going to be able to get off the ball and win some matchups. I definitely like the idea of having Hargrave in there in the mix. Not over to it in Hayward, but again, supplementing them, getting them a blow whenever one of them's hurt or just needs a breather because they've been out there for so long. And then you see in those subsets, yeah, let Hargrave get a one-on-one while everyone's looking at T.J. Watt or Bud Dupree or Vince Williams or whoever's coming, and you can rely on him to maybe win some of those matchups. So definitely get him out there more. He has 5.5 sacks, and he has not played a lot of this season. That should be a sign to the Steelers, and I think that they're going to try and get him in the mix more. And I got a Cardis classroom that went up today, Tony, and it's about the interior pass rush of the linebackers behind those guys.
Yeah.
And I really think Vince Williams, who he's had a sack in each of the past three games, he's at least had half a sack in each of the last four games, and has sacked the quarterback 5 of the last 6. He's really turning the corner with him getting back into the pass rush mix. And I think with him and LJ Fort as pass rushers, switching off the way that Watt and Dupree did, because Dupree told me specifically, he's like, hey, you know, Butler told us, you know, when one of us rushes, the other drops back. I think if they do a similar thing with Fort and Williams, and they, you know, and they mix and match between them, and, you know, Watt and Dupree making them guess who's coming there, and now you're getting Fort and Williams to guess who's coming there, you're forcing offensive linemen to communicate a lot. Hey, if he comes here, who's he coming? Who you got? Who you got? And that's when the mistakes start to happen, and then you get the free pass rushing lanes to the quarterback, especially if Tua's healthy, because Tua and Hayward traditionally attract the double teams, and that opens up the space. And that's where I think that Hargrave can I can be comfortable with Hargrave coming off the field from the Steelers, because those guys attract so much attention and open it up for everybody else.
Yeah, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more thing defensively.
What's that?
Oladini. So Oladini's been on IR since preseason. Now, look, I know he dominated in the preseason against, like, third-string tackles.
Right.
I get it. But he was good at winning one-on-one. And winning one-on-one is not – yeah, it's not been the Steelers' strong suit at the outside rush position. Do the Steelers need Oladini? Can he be an X factor on this defense during the latter half of this year?
I don't think they need him, per se. I think that he would be a healthy – support, because T.J. Watt messed up his hand, Bud Dupree's got a pectoral issue, and Anthony Chiklos had some minor injuries. And if you think about it, that's their outside pass rush. That's it.
Yeah, right. They're shallow. Yeah,
exactly. I think that they need him to come free sooner to get those guys more blows, let them heal up a little bit better. I think that it would be healthy to just get him out there and see what he has. You know, and you don't have to put him out there with Chiklo every time. Let him sub in for Watt. Let him sub in for Dupree. To be honest, I haven't studied Adini's preferences that much. Like, I know how Dupree likes to rush. I know how Watt likes to rush, but I don't know how Adini likes to rush. And if he has a preferred side, he's gonna have to figure that out. But I definitely say get him out there. You know, and only when he's actually healthy. Don't rush him back, because you don't want to lose the young guy forever. But definitely get him in the mix. I think he'll be healthy. Honestly, you can get rid of Dan McCullers. Like, I don't see him contributing much to anything in this defensive scheme other than just be an extra body that you can line up at defensive tackle.
You and me both, man, but I don't get it. I mean, but I'll tell you what, Keith Butler does not agree.
He puts him in there. I mean, this past week he was crazy. In there. I was like, what is going on?
I know you said earlier, you aren't ready to put Hargrave out there instead of Tua. I don't know, man. Hargrave's so good as a pass rusher. And, you know, I like Tua, but he's streaky, right? He went through that rut earlier in the year where non-existent. And I worry about that. It's like this weird opportunity cost thing where, like, the more reps I have Hargrave out there, I feel like the better the pass. Not to say Tua's bad. I'm not saying Tua's bad, but Hargrave has just been, he's been on fire these past couple weeks.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's tough to take it out of the hot man's hands.
Yeah.
And I agree with that assessment on your part. It's not even just about who's going to win singular matchups. I just think that to it, he's going to attract more double teams. And you remember the sack Vince Williams had where he jumped over Christian McCaffrey and got right to Newton?
Yeah.
On that blitz, you saw four guys rush. Two linemen went to Tuitt. Two linemen went to Hayward. One lineman was on, I think, T.J. Watt, and the other was on, and then Christian McCaffrey was left alone to Vince Williams. Those are the kind of things that I think Tuitt attracts, because people see his big body, they know his profile, and they know that he can be dangerous if not kept in check, especially if you don't have an elite offensive guard to lock him up. And I think that's the threat that he poses, that he opens up lanes for other people, especially when you start seeing, you know, more blitzes out of Mike Hilton and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good problem for the Steelers to have, right? I mean, they have. It's almost like they have too many good interior pass rushers at this point.
I think that's a great problem for them to have.
Yeah, and you know, coming up in this stretch now, they got the Chargers this week, they got the Patriots in 2 weeks, Saints afterwards. I'm not a huge believer in the secondary. I know they've played well over the past month or two, but you know, they have not faced Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees yet. So it won't matter. But it won't matter if that interior pass rush is getting there. So, all right, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Tony.
Oh, I'd let people know where they can find your work.
Oh, of course. I forgot to do that. Everyone, you can check me out at dkpittsburghsports.com and an NFL analyst there. I break things down in Carter's classroom where I study something different every week. But also, we go into the war room where I grade players, interview players, and go over film. We talk a lot of ball there. I work with the great Dale Lally on the Steelers beat. Dan Kovacic's always there. We have live interviews of players. We're always at the stadium. And you can catch all of our great analysis there at dkpittsburghsports.com. We're going to have some holiday specials, y'all. So check us out and give us a look.
Yeah, man, well worth it. It's $0.99 for your first month.
Yes.
It's well worth it. Head on over there. All right, Chris, thanks again.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, and that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. And tomorrow, Matt Williamson previews this Sunday's game against the LA Chargers right here on Locked On Steelers.